So I was 17 when I started university at Harding, and when I flew from Africa, first time to fly, there were so many firsts in my life, and I got to Armstrong Dorm, room number 310, and as I passed some of the doors to get to my room, I noticed there was a machine that said Coca-Cola. Now, we had Coca-Cola in Africa, but this was a machine. You just put money in it, and a Coke came out. I mean, I just thought this was amazing. And then they had another machine there that had Frito chips. What is Frito chips, you know? My life was filled with so much football. I didn't know American football, although I loved it immediately because I played rugby, and I played rugby on several levels, you know, and so I loved football. Football, I'm dating myself now. When I got to Harding, Arkansas just won the national title, and some of you are going, really? Have they ever won the day? It was Arkansas or Texas. So that was kind of a first love, coming to the States, getting to know football. A year later, a girl transfers from Freed Hardman because it's still a two-year school. That dates us, doesn't it? See, the next year is going to be a two-year school for 4 years. But she transferred to Harding, and I met her in the lunch line, and she liked my accent, and I liked her accent. And I was a college student, so I had all kinds of money, you know. So I'd say, let's go on a date to church Wednesday night. And I think I have enough money to buy a chilled root beer at A&W afterwards, you know. You know, we've all got those stories, all of us. And yet the greatest question is, where did you meet Jesus? How precious are those stories? And the Bible is replete, the Gospels, where people met Jesus, like the traitor. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus, Luke 19, 1 and 2. Well, a traitor in the sense that I'm sure some of his own people, because he's a Jew, thought he was, because he's a tax collector working for the Romans, who are the oppressors. But he's a chief tax collector. He's a descendant of Abraham. How could you possibly put yourself in that position? And his name is Zacchaeus, meaning pure and innocent. Yeah, right. But I tell you what, I love his attitude. His energy and his determination, the Bible says he's short, and he wants to see Jesus. Jesus is coming to town. There's a sycamore tree. I'm climbing. And Jesus sees him and says, I'm coming to your house. And bottom line, salvation is coming to your house today. He says, Lord, if I've cheated anybody, I'll replace it fourfold. And I'll give half of my alms to the poor. You know, I kind of chuckle when I read this story. I mean, it has great meaning to it, but VBS, Vacation Bible School in Africa, we sang a lot of the songs you guys sang. One song that we sang was Zacchaeus was a wee little man, the wee little man was he. You know that song. Except we're in Africa, it's British colony, and at the end of the song it says, I'm coming to your house for tea. That's what we say, because that's what you did. If you came to our house, we'd fix you tea. So, of course, Jesus is going to get tea. There's the incurable. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. Luke chapter 8, verse 44. You know, the King James Version says bloody issue. That word issue is broadened in our culture. We talk about issues. I can't keep this pace any longer. I'm burning both ends of the candle. Issue. Our financial debt is about to drown us. Issue. We're just going through the motions. I don't know if our marriage is going to last. Issue. You know what? I can't forgive. I got a problem with it, and it's destroying me, and it's destroying my family. Issue. And this lady says, listen, if you can just bump through the haze or the crowds and just grab the hem of his garment, you are grabbing the Prince of Peace. Well, how about this one? The outcast. A woman, a Samaritan, came to draw water. Jesus said, would you give me a drink of water? That shocked her. Two words come to my mind, dawn and dusk. Sherry and I, we years ago when our family was small, and we moved to the island of Antigua, and we worked with two other missionary families and planted church and there on the island and other churches in different islands. The new church that we started there was in a very poor area, so there was no indoor plumbing. They put faucets on the highway there for people to come get it. And so early in the morning, dawn, there'd be buckets and people in line. And late at night, or late in the evening, dusk or in the afternoon, you'd see people there. But nobody at noon, because noon, the Caribbean sun will bake you. She's got problems, this lady. She's coming at noon to go get water. Yeah, problems are right. Jesus tells her, besides shocking her, speaking to her, because you're a Jew and I'm considered a half-breed by you also, you speak to me. And then Jesus says, yeah, I know you're not married. You've had five husbands. You're shacking up right now. And then she runs, boy. This guy knows everything about me, and you all in the village, come. You have got to hear him. She did not know three important facts: who he was, the Messiah, what he had to offer, living water, and how she could receive it by surrendering to him. And that is questions that must be shared with people, that must be answered globally today. People don't know who he is, and yet knowing him changes their lives. One final example is the religious terrorist. Hellenized Jew, part of the dispersion outside Israel, Hebrew of Hebrews, part of the tribe of Benjamin. Listen, it wasn't the biggest of tribes, but I tell you what, when it comes to being the spiritual giant, it is. Culturally a Greek, you know, he's a cosmopolitan. He's familiar with Greek culture and Roman culture. He grows up at that point where Asia Minor kisses Syria, and he grows up in the city of Tarsus. Tremendous city, 6,000 millennia old is Tarsus. And it has commercial and it has agriculture, and it is one of the three hubs of education in the then known world. Athens, Greece, and Alexandria, Egypt, and Tarsus had the three universities or intellectual centers. But spiritually, he's a zealot. In fact, Jesus even commented on Pharisees and how committed they were to getting a convert. And I quote Jesus, Matthew 23:15, travel over land and sea to win a single convert. He's taught by Gamaliel. Gamaliel is known as the beauty of the law, and he has a title that only seven others have had, Rabban. And he's full of spiritual zeal, but I tell you what, at this point in his life, he's empty of spiritual life. And he is a religious terrorist. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison, Acts 8:3. Havoc reminds me of warthogs when they get in a person's backyard in Africa and they just tear up the lawn. It's just a mess. That has the same connotation. Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogue of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Saul thought he thought he was the message here, the mission here from God, but he is the mission, and he's going to be dealt with radically by Jesus Christ. In Acts 9:4, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he answers, who are you, Lord? I was 14, and a boy my age came into my class from another country in Africa. His family had moved down to Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe. And his name was Colin van Dyke, but at that time we just got TV, one channel, two colors, black and white. And we got, one of the programs was the Dick van Dyke Show. So from then on, he was known as Dick van Dyke. Dick was a rebel. He would come to school with two pens, one pen, and we had ink pens at that time, nibs on them, I guess. I don't know what the name used here is, but anyway. So he'd have one pen that was his regular pen, and he'd have another pen that would be empty because it'd have a cigarette in that he could smoke at break time. So I got to know him some. He liked to play sport, and so did I. One Sunday, and at this time in my life, I wasn't committed to Christ as I should be. And I was kind of betwixt between. I know that I love Jesus and I wanted to serve him, but at that time I just didn't have the commitment there. So my dad I would go with my dad on Sunday mornings and go pick up people for church. Somewhat of an embarrassment to me, I don't know why, ridiculous, but anyway, we would. Well, this one house was just where it was next to where Dick moved. And Dick came out and saw me in the car with my father and saw me in my Sunday dress. So Monday, he says to me at school, "You go to church?" Mockingly. And I said, in my best evangelistic method, "I dare you to come with me." That's all I could think of, you know. God used me in spite of me, you know. And he said, yes. And he became a Christian. And he went to Bible school. And him and his wife planted churches in Swaziland. And he became the director of the Bible school there. And 5 weeks ago, when we were having his Zoom memorial, I said, he answered the question when he was asked, "Have you met Jesus?" And then he answered the next vital question. "Now, what are you going to do with Jesus?" And Dick did not walk away, but he embraced. He grabbed the hem of the garment. Lord, I am with you now. And that is something that will not change as long as the world continues. You met Jesus? Now what are you going to do with Jesus? Because he's got his arms straight out for you, got a place for you, got a mission for you while you're on earth, and has the icing on the cake, as it were, in heaven. And that invitation was accepted by the North African traveling from Jerusalem to Gaza, you know. And when he was reading from the Messianic prophet, Philip said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "No." And he said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And he was. And born again. New life. The invitation is extended here at Glasgow this Sunday morning, as it has been all around the world and will always be. Won't you come as we stand and sing?